The pressing need for more housing in Roanoke and the preservation of structures that have historical value, even in some cases neglected and in major disrepair on lots that could attract developers. So the question is, can those two viewpoints coexist? Joining WFIR senior reporter anchor Gene Moreno and me live in studio for a conversation this morning on that issue is Whitney Leeson from the Roanoke Valley Preservation Foundation and Alexander Boone with A. Boone Real Estate Incorporated. We say good morning to you both. Nice to have you here this morning.
Morning, Joey.
Yes, good to see you.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so Whitney, I guess we'll start out with you this morning. If you would, tell us what the Roanoke Valley Preservation Foundation is all about and the awards that you give out.
Okay, so we were founded in 1988, so we've been around a while, and the sole goal is just to protect the historic and the cultural natural resources of the Roanoke Valley. And in terms of awards, we give two primarily that are signatures for us. The first are the Endangered Sites Awards, and those have been going on since 1996. And the second are the Preservation Awards. So the ones that have been destroyed or that we've lost historic structures around town, and then ones that have been restored and brought back to a new life.
And George Kegley got that all when people got it started, correct?
Exactly. In fact, the Preservation Awards, we call the George Kegley Awards now.
I went to one of the first picnics they held outdoors at one point, yeah.
Oh, he is like a hero for me. Mm-hmm. So sad to lose him.
Yeah, yeah. And Alexander Boone has received two of those awards, the Bulldozer Awards. And I know that Whitney was saying that she a lot of that commentary was sort of directed at the, I guess, the Roanoke County School Board over Pogue Mill and then the Roanoke City Council. Alexander, talk about the whole thing about, like, with Pogue Mill, after you bought the property, and this is after Roanoke County owned that property for, what, 20 years?
Well, they had since 2008.
Yeah, okay. 2008, and let it deteriorate.
And some people wanted to see the farmhouse. Talk about the condition the farmhouse was in, and this is the whole thing about if you go too long on a piece of property where something needs to be preserved and it's not.
It's too far gone.
Right.
I mean, that's what happened. I mean, we initially... Our initial plans for Pogue Farm were to include the house as a restaurant and a focal point of social interaction for the community. And so when we first toured the house, I mean, I looked through it with the eye of preserving it. And how could we create a restaurant here? I really thought about the Brew Tavern at Explorer Park. Mm. And could we do something like that to create in Pogue's Mill? But the more engineers and the architects that we had through it and the more time I spent in it, I realized there was no way it could happen. Each of those engineers and architects told me, you can't do this. You'd be insane to try to do this. This is not viable. And unfortunately, this was a situation. It was really a perfect storm. It's no one's fault. You had the Pogues who had a life estate to live there. And then after Mrs. Pogue died, I think in 2020, the Pogues had the right to use the farm, but they didn't own it, and so they had no right or no reason to maintain it. You had Roanoke County Schools that was going to tear it down for a school, so they had no reason to maintain it, and so no one had any reason to maintain it, and it, unfortunately, it fell into complete disrepair. I mean, it was full of mold. The structure was rotting. It was structurally unsound. Had the home actually been in the city of Roanoke, it would have been condemned. Roanoke County doesn't have as strict of codes for condemning a house because of all the rural properties that are here. But it would have been condemned because it was in that bad of shape.
And it was in bad shape. And just to know, say not any blame. I actually do think the Roanoke County School Board has some blame here because when that transaction happened, the Roanoke Valley Preservation Foundation, we spoke to people, we sent multiple letters. So it's not as if Roanoke County School Board was not aware that there were complaints from neighbors, right? About threat of vandalism, the destruction, the deterioration. Because you hate to see a property that was a land grant piece of property from
1749.
King George. Right. You know, you hate to see, and that house was a very nice house at one point.
It was.
I'm wondering, Whitney, and we're talking to Whitney Leeson and Alexander Boone about preservation and development. I'm wondering if a locality, if they need to be, of course, you hate to put more regulations and rules in place, some people, but does there need to be more rules about if you own a piece of property or if someone has a piece of property with an historical structure on it or architecturally significant, that they need to do a better job of taking care of it or getting someone to take care of it.
Yeah, it's hard. Anytime you get into private property, that's really dicey. But one thing I do think that happened at Hoag Farm is at least Mike Poulos went through and there was documentation before the demolition. He's the architectural historian for the Roanoke Valley through the Department of Historic Resources. But if you can, I have thought, and we have kind of sort of tried to brainstorm ideas, is it possible that any structure over 50 years, now I realize people think that's pretty young, but 50 years is kind of the mark. If it's going to be demolished, shouldn't there just be a little pause in the sense of at least evaluate the property and see what it is?
I talked with Mike Poulos about the property, and he initially said there wasn't anything historical about it in terms of people living, you know, somebody living here or George Washington
didn't sleep
here
or anything.
Right,
yeah.
That type of thing. He said there's some interesting construction history of the property. He said, but I don't think there would be no available grants or other things. Then apparently some neighbors talked to him months later, and there was a different report that there were some opportunities for historical preservation, and there were some more historical aspects of this house. Well, I wasn't aware of that report. It was never shared with me. But you know, those are things we could have looked at. The problem is, again, Gene, as you pointed out, I mean, the house was so deteriorated at that point that it wasn't a viable option. I mean, even the foundations, which were, it was really cool to see it. They were all rocks from the farm from the 1830s is when the house was built.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't structurally sound to do it.
Well, do typically the localities have someone, Whitney, on staff that has a preservationist background? Or
well, I would always say go to the Department of Historic Resources. Right. That's what your taxpayer dollars are for. And certainly we have the Western Regional Preservation Office. So I was recently very annoyed with Salem because they took down two houses and the DHR is not even, it's almost a rock throwing distance literally from that housing, I mean, from that office.
Now, I know one thing you wanted to talk about is, again, when you have a private piece of property with an older structure on there and the homeowner wants to sell it to someone to develop and it meets all the criteria by right or with a special use permit. I mean, you know, what about a property owner? Do they have rights? You know, I mean,
Yeah, they do. And in fact, that's probably where the second bulldozer award came in for Alexander. And I would note again,
let's talk about that.
Both of these, both
I was proud
of these,
to receive them. Thank you, Whitney.
I feel bad for Alexander, for you guys out there. I've known Alexander for a long time. Because he received two awards. One was for the Pogue Farm, but again, I would emphasize that the county school board has a lot of fault here. The second was for the four houses on Richelieu that were taken down at the, you know, sort of the gateway to South Roanoke.
Older homes.
Four older homes.
They were approximately 100 years old.
Yeah. Again, you know, nice enough structures in terms of the facades, but it's not a case
the
of...
facades only.
No George Washington sleeping here. Yeah, facades only. But that was sent, that bulldozer ward is really sent in the endangered list to send a message to the Roanoke City Council because they increased the density on those lots by right. And Roanoke Valley Preservation Foundation had sent many letters and Allison Blanton had spoken to City Council a couple of times about how if you increase the density so that value outweighs the lot itself, that it encourages demolition.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, bam, here go down four houses. So in some ways, and I get it, when I talked to Alexander, he said, well, it's kind of also like another perfect element because normally you wouldn't have all these four houses come up
that were
and be
in
acquired.
An estate. Right. It was a fluke that you had four houses in that location that were available at one time.
Were they all owned by the same person?
They were. Yes.
They were, okay.
Yeah. Who passed away, and to pay estate taxes, they had to sell the property.
Yeah.
And I never saw inside them, but, you know, I've talked to Alexander. I know they were bad on the
inside. I promise you wouldn't have wanted to see
it. I know. And I've been in some bad houses. But I think ideally, you know, I know from the Roanoke Valley Preservation Foundation, it would have been fantastic. I get money is an issue. But if there's a way to keep those facades, somehow put, like, you know, architectural creatives on it so that they are... at least that one room deep and then maybe fill in behind them so that there's a way to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's just not viable from a financial perspective. And what we are going to do is we're not maxing out the density. We're going to have 22 units there. We could have had 36.
Yeah, I saw that.
And what we're doing is, I think the community is going to embrace
wise.
It. Yeah, it's going to be a, it's going to look like Georgetown or Old Town Alexandria townhomes.
Kind of fit in a little bit, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think the community will love them. It's a beautiful structure. We're excited to get started this fall. And it's also going to create 22 new apartments where people can walk to Carillion. They can walk to work.
Crystal Spring,
yeah. Absolutely. The restaurateurs and the store owners down there are really excited about having it there. And we have such a desperate need for housing of all types. I mean, for lower valued homes, middle and upper. I mean, it's embarrassing to say now the average house in the United States is $450,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not attainable for a lot of people.
Over 400 in Roanoke Valley now.
Yeah, it is. And so we've got to create different types of housing to create more opportunity for people to move here, live here, and for businesses to grow here.
I haven't seen the plans. And I know I saw Katie Gutshaw, and she said that they look pretty good. What really made the facades not viable? Was it design or was it really money?
Well, you couldn't keep them together because they were single family detached housing, and so to keep them,
you have to build in between.
Could you build in between? We couldn't have done it structurally. And I'll be honest with you, we didn't look at doing that, but it's when you mentioned that to me the other day, I thought about it, and the problem is we wouldn't have been able to keep them together. It's just, it wasn't structurally viable, and of course it wouldn't have been a financially viable
project. We only got a couple of minutes left, so I want to get one thing in. Again, we're talking with Whitney Leeson from the Roanoke Valley Preservation Foundation and Alexander Boone with A. Boone Real Estate. This is a question that Alexander put together. How do we balance financial liability of real estate and property rights with the importance of historical preservation and remembering our past? Can the two coexist in some way?
Oh, I absolutely think the two can coexist. And that's a great question, Alexander, because I was thinking the same thing, like to really end on a positive note. Like what is a way to do it? And I thought the Murray Cider Company out in Botetourt County, at least as it started to unroll with the public charrettes were one way.
Getting the public more involved.
Getting at the stage before really design is even put on the table, so you can just hear things. The one thing that is certain is the acrimonious attitude that you hear often. It's problematic. We have to somehow dial that back. And with those charrettes, I was interested how they had selected sort of like a mediator to facilitate conversations before stuff. And I think
that person grew up here and is based in Charlotte. I think he's a planner.
Yeah. So that was helpful. And then the other thing is, even before things get rolling, just talking with one another, mm-hmm. whether it's restoration specialists, somebody like Hill Studio, Allison Blanton. There's plenty of people.
Isabel Thornton does.
Yeah, I mean, with the restoration
housing on a smaller scale.
In fact, her luncheon's later today. But
okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't invited.
Yeah, that's a way to get those people talking.
We have about a minute and a half off. I do want to ask the new revised zoning for Roanoke City, where by right you can build multifamily units on a single family plot or whatever, and this is what the four houses is. Do you see that as ultimately a threat? Does there need to be any, they're talking about maybe looking at again, Whitney, does it need to be maybe something in there where they pump the brakes to look at the historical value or what they can do if they do redevelop it?
They have to do something. And in fact, I think they need to bring back down the density on that, because that, and even though it was sort of an exceptional circumstance where you see four houses like together, but that just kind of made the case, because normally what the city would say and what they did say was, these are hypothetical circumstances. No one's going to tear down houses that, historic houses. But when you do by right allow high density, then you put at risk structures.
The city did have a lot of restrictions on the density there. When you first read the overall density, it does look higher. But when you read the actual development standards, it's a lot less dense. And there are apartments all over South Roanoke and Raleigh Court and Wasina and, mm-hmm. and Southeast. I mean, there are apartments mixed in with single family homes all over the Roanoke Valley.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it creates a great community. Mm-hmm. It creates diversity of neighbors and neighborhood, and it's a positive thing
there's
that the city's doing.
There's some great ones in Grandin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to leave it there. We're going to have you guys back for round two or something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Whitney Leeson with the Roanoke Valley Preservation Foundation, Alexander Boone, our neighbor from A. Boone Real Estate, Inc. Thanks for joining us today for
Thank
this
you,
discussion.
Jean.
Thank you.